So, good morning. Do I say Merry Christmas or do I just say Happy New Year? We're in the in-between phase, so it's a bit confusing. Someone did tell me this morning that it's 12 days of Christmas, so technically it's still Christmas. Good. Anyway, so until the Christmas tree goes down on January 6th. All right, so we are now the end of the year, and last night I had two friends come around and brought me a KFC bucket, and they said, just think, this is the last Saturday of the year. And I'm like, I'm here in KFC on a Saturday night at 10 p.m. Oh, my. So today is the last Sunday of the year. It's the penultimate day of the year, day before New Year's Eve. Come to the end of the year. Finally made it. It's been a very, very, very long year. And in case you've lost track of what's happened in the last 12 months, I took the liberty of writing a poem. Spoken word, as they say. I hope that it doesn't offend anybody, but it's of the affairs of the world. And a lot has happened, a lot of crazy things, but please, just a disclaimer, don't get offended. And I'll try and read it really fast so it goes over your head. Okay. So this is called the 2018 recap. Okay. First, the supermoon total lunar eclipse, the first super blood blue moon since 1983. Teens started eating Tide Pods for some silly challenge, this in January. In February was the 2018 Winter Olympics in South Korea, one tragic high school mass shooting in Florida, two flight crashes, one in Moscow and the other in Iran, Elon Musk's red Tesla Roadster in space, ridden by a mannequin astronaut man. Black Panther, an all-black cast movie, came out. KFC hit a crisis. No KFC. No chicken at KFC. What's that all about? Meanwhile, in March, vote for Chinese president for life, we learn. One flight crash in Nepal. Putin gets reelected for another fourth term. A really heartbreaking terrorist attack in France. While North Korean leader meets Chinese president for a relationship enhance. The UK gets hit again with a Siberian snow. The Beast from the East, the trilogy show. In April, chemical attacks and continued Syrian civil war. Another flight crash, Algerian plane, we cannot ignore. Kim Jong-un meets Moon Jae-in. North and South Korean leaders finally reconciling. Prince Wales and Kate have baby Prince Louis of Cambridge, then flossing made famous by backpack kid footage. Woo. Next one. In May, Trump announces to withdraw US from Iranian nuclear agreement. The Eurovision Song Contest, UK no win, what an embarrassment. Malaysian election, Mahathir Mohamad, a 92-year-old, elected as the nation's leader, so bold. Royal wedding of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. GDPR spam, opt-in emails, is it Yanni or is it Laurel? In June, many had to flee in evacuation due to a deadly Guatemalan volcano eruption, and then there was a 2018 FIFA World Cup, then US announces their UN Human Rights Council breakup, cannabis for recreational use legalized in Canada, followed by women allowed to drive in Saudi Arabia. Then July, Eritrea and Ethiopia finally end their 20-year conflict, Facebook shares drop over $109 billion wiped from market value profit, the largest single day loss in corporate history to handle after Cambridge Man in March revealed the data leak scandal, hot weather caused Greece wildfires, Canadian heat wave in Quebec transpires, UK experienced 3 months of dry sunny weather, the driest British summer that lasted forever, Kiki challenge to Drake's In My Feelings, dangerous injuries from silly car jumpings. Ooh. August, a second Ebola outbreak in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Part of the Italian bridge collapses due to bad construction and a violent storm combo. Aretha Franklin dies, then an all-Asian cast movie by Hollywood. Crazy Rich Asians, then Baby Shark do-do-do-do-do. Okay. Oh, am I going back? Wait, October. September. In September, Ford and Kavanaugh scandal, then a Tanzanian ferry capsizes in Lake Victoria, and a 7.5 magnitude earthquake and tsunami in Indonesia. In October, over 700,000 people marched through central London, all protesting for another Brexit referendum. Trump announces US plans for intermediate-range nuclear forces treaty termination, all because of Russia's suspected continuous acts of violation. In November, we held a centenary 100 years since World War I Remembrance Day. Then Stanley Malverman passed away. And now we've reached December. Oh, sorry. And now we've reached December, a sudden tsunami in Indonesia. I can finally say that so much has happened in the world this past year. Breathe. Okay. So a lot happened this past year in the world, and some good, some bad, some ugly. Are we getting close to a nuclear war? Is the idea of Trump's new toy just a little button thing? What does this button do? But basically, there's been a lot of crazy things that has happened in this world, and some of it we might have forgotten about. And that's just in the world. Some of it could have happened in a private scale, in our homes, within our families, within our own personal lives, and even just talking about and praying about illnesses this morning. Just a reminder that actually life is very fragile. Life is very, very fragile. And I don't know, you know, what's it about with you? Are you being affected? Yes, the pound is really weak right now, and there's talks of Brexit deals that we're still unsure about. But what about you? How has 2018 been for you this year? So there's some reflection questions, actually, that were handed to you this morning in the bulletin, along with the letter from the church committee. The pledge forms are over there. But there's reflection questions that I combined together. I found some of them online. Some of them were made up by me. Some of them were shared from friends. But they're really good ways to... It's really technically designed to help you reflect with God in mind concerning your past year, concerning 2018. And yes, there's some random questions like your 10 best songs of 2018 and things like that, just because I thought, actually, sometimes it's nice to recap on the songs that you listen to and some of these songs that will mark those pivotal points in your year. For me, the song La La Land, Another Day in the Sun, was to mark 3 months of no rain. Every morning, it would be another day of sun. And looking at the green grass that turned yellow, it looked like deserts. But you're free to answer some of the questions or all of them. I would recommend spending a free afternoon, maybe in a coffee shop or a quiet home, maybe writing on the sheet or journaling if you need the space, your thoughts. But I found that it's actually really good to reflect, and it's good to just reflect and backtrack and look back and think about the future, because there's also questions for next year as well. And it's also therapeutic to write them down, and maybe or you want to discuss it with your partner or close friend or family member if that helps. But it's good to relook at them later on as well. I think the final question was, write a message of advice to the future you so you can read it this time next year, which I find really nice to do. But I'm not going to be talking extensively about these reflection questions this morning on stage. I don't want to bore you with the boring facets of my mediocre life. But you can assume one thing about me, and actually I can assume one thing about you this morning. We've all had a very interesting year. Where there will be people, it will be interesting. Where there will be activities and stuff to get up to, where we have to live in a society and function, it will be interesting, very interesting. And where there are good times, there are also bad times. And it's safe to say, I assume that it's the same for you as it is for me. There is nobody in this room this morning who would say no to this one thing. Let me say that again. There is nobody in this room that would say no to this one thing. I would say yes, please. You would say yes, please. There's something that we all want here this morning. We all want it, hence why we're here, hopefully, unless you got dragged here. But generally, we all want to be, and this is it, we all want to be lifted up. We all want to feel encouraged. We all want to be feeling better than when we first arrived. Nobody wants to be feeling down. Nobody wants to feel low. Nobody wants to leave with a foul mood, have a bad day. Nobody will say, actually, I secretly low-key love drama, and I really love it when I'm in the midst of all this drama. I love it when I'm spiraling or not my best self. Nobody says that. Nobody wants to be in that place. Everybody wants to be uplifted. Everybody wants to be feeling good, having a good day. Life is not static. And I put that there as a reminder that life is not static. We don't stay in one place, constantly on top of a mountain or up on a roof, gazing down at a beautiful sunset, which is quite rare in, you know, UK weather now. Sometimes we'll be at a low point. We'll be in the valley trying to pick out some sheep poo from the crevices of your walking boots. Or maybe you're stuck outside and caught without a rain and caught under the rain without an umbrella, and the heavens have opened up. When it rains, it pours, type of thing. Sometimes we won't always be able to have that wonderful restaurant time with your friends, eating the best paella ever or three roast rice. Sometimes we'll be eating burnt food, leftovers at home, and the British pound won't stay low forever, nor will the weather stay sunny for 3 months straight. The beast from the east may return. So basically, life is not static. Life will always be moving. There will be low points, and there will be high points. There will be moments where we get knocked down, and there will be moments where we are built up, when we build others up. Life is not unfluctuating. It can go up, it can go down. We get depleted, we get filled. We get hungry, we get fed, and we get full. We get thirsty, and we drink water. We get tired, and we find rest, and we recuperate. We diminish, and we get replenished. We expend, and we get renewed. So when I asked my friends what they did all day yesterday, they're like, I was sleeping for most of today. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. No, I felt really guilty. No, it's okay. You've been, because they were doctors. You've been working really hard, saving lives over Christmas. You were allowed to sleep. If your body needs to sleep, you let it sleep. They're like, oh, okay. But then, you know, obviously, if you go on the other end of the spectrum and they're sleeping all day, every day, 16 hours a day, and not doing any work, then that's an extreme case. But yeah, when we get tired, we need to sleep. When we're thirsty, we need to drink. When my lips are dry, I go to Mish and she gives me chapstick. But there's a verse in the Bible I felt really drawn to when I was praying about this year-end topic. And it's this verse. And it's taken from 2 Corinthians 4:16, and it reads, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Our outer self is wasting away. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. Deplete, fill. Deplete, fill. Diminish, replenish. Wasting away. Renewal. Up, down, up, down. Everybody wants renewal day by day. Nobody wants to constantly feel depleted. Nobody enjoys being moany, constantly sleep deprived, grumpy, miserable. We all want renewal. We all want renewal day by day. It's not just this morning, but it's every day. Good year or bad year, we all want this, and that's renewal. But what does it mean, therefore, we do not lose heart? What does it mean to lose heart? Hopelessness, despair, feeling tired and weary, all beaten up, having a difficult time, feeling low, not having any heart to care, no love to give, losing courage or confidence, or maybe it's disappointment, or feeling very, very miserable. So it's very common living here in this world that actually, you know, we live in a world full of sin. Full of sinners, full of heartbreak and heart pain and sorrow and suffering and tears. And in this verse, Paul is completely acknowledging that actually we're all human beings and we will die soon, and implies to all of us here in this room today. Listen to this. Our outer self is wasting away. Our outer person is decaying. We're wasting away, either losing weight or, for some of us, gaining weight, therefore clogging our arteries from all the cheese and mince pies that we ate over Christmas. But there's sickness. There's a lot of sickness in the world, and it still applies today. Injuries, there's plane crashes that I mentioned in the poem, mass shootings, there's knife crime, there's hardships and disappointments, and it's all very depressing. And there's also problems within relationships. Before I went back home, my sister conveniently sent out an article about how to avoid family feuds. And of course, whenever you are stuck in a house full of women, my older sisters, the strong-headed women, I might add, there will be family feuds of some sort because, you know, there's a single cabin fever. and wanting different things. Anyway, so whenever there's human beings, whenever we're here on this earth, there will be disappointments. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Hang on a second. The word therefore, we all know in literature and also Bible text, if there's a therefore, there's implies that there's a statement before the verse. So let's backtrack a bit. Let's read from 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. So this concept of jars of clay, it's a common metaphor from the ancient times, and it describes humanity as jars of clay, or we as earthen vessels, that we are weak and we are smashable, we're fragile. We are jars of clay and we won't last forever here on this earth. We will decay. And Paul says that we have this treasure inside of us, like jars of clay, treasure. And what's this treasure? This treasure is actually the knowledge of the gospel, the knowledge of God's glory, that the truth is God came down in human flesh to save us so that we have eternal life and we will not perish. And that is that treasure, and we have that in jars of clay. And Paul is saying that we are jars of clay with treasure of truth, and it can show the power that belongs to God. Though we are weak, he is not. Though we are fragile, he is still renewing us day by day, okay? Therefore, we do not lose heart. Reading on, verse 8, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Sorry, this one. So these literature couplets, as the GCSE and A-level literature kids over there would say, couplets, in verses 8 to 9, affected, affliction, but not crushed, perplexed, or bewildered, or confused, and not know what to do or say, or simply just baffled, perplexed but not driven to despair, as in we won't be discouraged or feel hopelessness, persecuted but not forsaken, God will never leave us nor forsake us or disown us, struck down but we are not destroyed. These amazing words of encouragement, because God sustains us and does not let us be overcome. He will never let us be tested beyond what we can bear. Therefore, we do not lose heart. In verse 10, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. When you believe, we're Christians, we're like mini Christs, and it's because of what Jesus has done we are saved. We are carrying in ourselves the death of Jesus. The cross is in us. A reminder of death and decay again. Jesus is shown through us. Therefore, because of that, we do not lose heart. In verse 11, for we live as always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh, so that death is at work in us, but life in you. Therefore, we do not lose heart, because God's Son is manifested or shown and is glorified despite our decaying outer bodies. Paul tells us first, he does not lose heart, even though his outer body is decaying, but in his weakness and his daily dying to self for the sake of others hearing the good news, okay? So he sacrificed a lot to get the gospel message out to others. Second, God's power and God's Son is glorified, it's shown and demonstrated, and he is glorified. And that's what Paul loves more than anything, okay? So he really, really wanted the good news to be out there. Verse 12, so death is at work in us, but life in you. Life is flowing because of Jesus' suffering, and death into our decaying lives. Christians are being strengthened because of Christ's power. And Paul, suffering for Jesus' death, for the sake of Jesus' gospel. Reading on, verses 13 to 15. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. In verse 13, this is the same spirit of faith. We all share in one spirit, the Holy Spirit. We have guidance from God. I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak. We have God's power. He gives us the words to say when we need it. Verse 14, this is a reminder that actually to all of us, it's all about God's ultimate power. It's not about what I can do or what you cannot do. It's all about God's ultimate power. He was able to do that, to raise Jesus from the dead. And so he can also raise us too. Verse 15, for it is all for your sake. So Paul, writing here, Paul suffers for the gospel. It spreads thanksgiving and grace to everyone, because this is good news. And it's for the glory of God. So that's Paul's two things. And Paul does not lose heart, and neither should we. God's power in raising his own son from death for resurrection will raise us also with Jesus. And we can be comforted to know that actually we will be raised up despite our sufferings in this world. With him, when we die, we enter into eternity with heaven with him. Wow. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Why? Because I am being renewed day by day. Every day, I'm being renewed. I'm being renewed by God's power and through God's Son being manifested and the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. We have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in us, okay? They're being glorified and is working through my decaying body, through your decaying bodies, renewing us, all of us, day by day. I am being renewed because God wants us to bring good news to the poor people, so to extend grace, so more people can be saved and thankful for this good news. So for the glory of God here on earth. As you know, this world is, we're all decaying. We're all heading towards the grave. There's a lot of cancer. There's loads of doctors in this church. And what do they do when they're at work? They're healing people. They're saving lives. And then when there's a death, they have to report and they have to. There's a lot of paperwork. But unfortunately, that's the nature of humanity. We're all heading to death. There's destruction. There's talks of nuclear wars. But basically, people need to hear the good news. People need to be saved. And when they are saved, they are thankful. They are very thankful for this good news. And this is all for the glory of God here on earth. Third, I am being renewed because God sustains me. I will not be overcome. Even though I'm having a hard time, even though I'm struggling, and I can barely, have my head above the waters and I'm just trying to tread water, but I'm kind of sinking, I will not be overcome. I will not be overcome by all this suffering. Number four, I am being renewed because I know I'll be raised up from the dead just as Jesus was raised, and we can live with Jesus forever in eternity. So all these things, therefore, we do not lose heart. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So, in verse 17, this light, momentary affliction, it's light. That means it's not heavy. Why? Because Paul reminds us that actually you need to think about the future glory, the weight of glory. He's comparing it to what's coming next, the view of eternity. In the grand scheme of things, our problems right now are very light. They're not so heavy. This not so heavy weight of carrying heavy burdens are the secrets for my friend. This not so heavy weight of dealing with working overtime because my workplace is very, very short-staffed. This not so heavy weight of heavy lifting and dealing with this crying baby or unstable person or dealing with exam after exam after exam. These are light in comparison. These problems are nothing compared to the future goodness that's ahead. Paul says, compared to the weight of glory coming, these problems are like feathers in weight. in Romans 8:18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." So actually, Paul, I would listen to Paul. I really would listen to Paul because he's a brother in Christ, okay? Though he's not Jesus, he's a brother in Christ. He's a follower, just like you and me. And in 2 Corinthians 11, we learn that Paul went through so much suffering for the sake of getting the gospel out there. Because of God's power, Paul did not lose heart. Because of God's power, Paul did not lose heart. So he went through serious labor. He was imprisoned multiple times, beaten many, many times, nearly to death. 5 times received from the Jews, 39 lashes by the whip. 3 times beaten with rods. Once was stoned. By that, I mean like rocks being stoned. 3 times shipwrecked. Loads of crazy journeys. Dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from countrymen, Gentiles, and cities, wilderness, and dangers from the sea. Sleepless nights, constant hunger, thirst, often without food, often in the cold, and often in severe, harsh suffering. I would listen to Paul. So back to the passage. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. This light momentary affliction, momentary, for a moment only. Sure, it's a lifetime here on earth, on this side of eternity here on earth. For as long as we temporarily live here on this earth, there will be hardship and there will be suffering. It is only for a short moment during this lifetime, in this present age. The glimpse of what happened this past year is an example of how much suffering there and hardship there has been. Marriage, I hear, it's hard work. Parenting, I also hear, is hard work. I can see that it's hard work as well. Dealing with expectations from others, your spouse, your boss, your parents, it's all hard work. Dealing with singleness, P.S., is hard work. But everything is hard work. But these are light, momentary afflictions. And Paul is talking about eternity. These afflictions are preparing us and makes us eagerly await for heaven. Though we are here on earth, we look forward to being home. We look forward to getting to heaven. It's kind of like when you've had a miserable camping trip and the weather was forecasted to be amazing, but then expectations were like sky high, but then your expectations were lowered because, you know, it got really muddy and your tent was sinking. And then you're like, I can't wait to have a hot bath when I get home. And then you get home, and it's like, oh, really nice. But actually, that's what heaven will be like. It'll be like, actually, I can finally have a good bath. I can finally sleep in my own bed. That's kind of what heaven will be like from once we leave this earth. Because earth is not very nice. I'm looking forward to heaven anyway. So Paul is talking about eternity. There'll be no more heartache, there'll be no more tears, there'll be no more sorrow and struggles. But while we are here on earth, every blow, every insult, every dig, every time someone throws you under a bus, every minute we spend in a crazy storm dealing with drama or family feuds, or being treated unfairly, every time we deal with hard times, these are all shaping us. It's preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. God's glory. These earthly things, we can see them. Eternal things, we cannot see these things. Earthly is temporal. These things will fade. No amount of facelifting creams or retinoids or Botoxes can fix our beauty. No amount of latest Apple products will satisfy. These things will fade. And we, with our earthly bodies decaying, we're getting closer to our graves. We might have 50 more years, 25, 10 years, or maybe 3 hours. We are all technically dying. But we're told not to look at the things that are seen, but on the things that are unseen. Don't look at things that are transient or temporal, but focus your attention on the things that are unseen, that are eternal. So this, the start of December, I got given a lovely Advent calendar, and it had like 24 crazy boxes of beauty products, and basically it was quite a luxury item, not one that I would normally buy for myself. I was really thankful for a friend, And by day 5, I got a bit tired because the novelty was starting to wear off. And by day 12, I simply just got depressed. I was like, oh my gosh, this is really superficial. This is really quite depressing. Why do people find so much pleasure in, you know, all these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all these beauty products? I don't get it. I don't even know all these names. And on the other hand, I had another Advent calendar thing that I was reading through God's word and just letting the eternal truth speak into my soul, into my heart. And all it takes is one word from God, a timely message for it to last, okay? It can really make or break you, and it really lifts you up. But we may not always remember the items that we have, but we remember God's word. It gets into our hearts. Just like in here, every Sunday we come, or some of us, when we come and we worship and we sing worship songs and we sit through announcements and we sit through prayers and we're sitting for 40, maybe 50, maybe an hour, minute sermons, we may not always remember these things. I've heard it said that actually we listen to over thousands of hours of sermons in our Christian lifetime. But you need to remember one thing, okay? If you're going to remember one thing, remember this. That actually, this sermon or last week's sermon or the previous messages that you heard, they provide that nourishment for what you need to make it through your days at that moment in time. Okay? They provide the nourishment that you need for that moment in time. Same with your daily quiet times with God. Those are special times where God provides the nourishment you need for that day to survive. That's why it's really important to meet with God on a regular basis. Just like physical food, we need to survive. We may not be able to always go out to that fancy restaurant. There are days when we need to eat basic food at home to cover the nutrients we need for the day. Likewise, God's truth provides the nourishment for you for that moment in time. God's eternal unseen things. These are having moments with God, be it in the church or alone. These are eternal things, and we're told to focus on those things. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Going back to 2018, our year just passed, on a big level world scale or on a personal adventure scale, it's important to reflect and remember those moments which God spoke, through good times or bad. And so I call these we call these spiritually defining moments. So it can be when God spoke to you at a conference, God spoke to you through a message in your own quiet time, or even here at church or during worship. Maybe you climbed a mountain and you looked down and you were in awe of God's wonderful creation. Or you experienced answer prayer for yourself or a breakthrough for someone. Whatever happened, these spiritually defining moments, these spiritual milestones in your walk, we need to remember them. We're told to remember them. Throughout the Old Testament, they're constantly reminding the Jewish people to always remember what God has done. Every time I start a new life group, I like to invite the new members to do a timeline thing containing all their spiritually defining moments, their spiritual milestones. For example, like when they first experienced God, when they first, the moment they got baptized, the moment they took a leap of faith, or when they went on missions, or when their faith increased. These are the spiritually defining moments, okay, in our past. And I encourage you to reflect on this if you have time, especially from the moments from this year, 2018, be it good moments or bad moments. And as a take-home point, have a think. What do you want to pray for 2019? These are not just New Year's resolutions, which will probably, go to the gym, lose a bit of weight, stop eating carbs, things like that, which will probably probably break by I don't know, 2 weeks. They say it's 2 weeks, 1 week, 2 weeks. But actually, this is about your own personal relationship with God. What's the one thing you want to work on with your relationship with God? What's the one thing you want to work on with your relationship with God? So when you make it to your next milestone, you can look back and say, actually, this is what God has done in my life. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. We are being renewed day by day. And if you want to take one thing into 2019 with you, remember this truth, that God is renewing you day by day. The power of God is renewing you day by day. We have weak bodies, but God is renewing you. Your afflictions are light and momentary, and that's okay. God is renewing you day by day. So, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Let's pray. In you, O Lord, do we take refuge. Let us never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver us. Incline your ear to us. Rescue us speedily. Be a rock of refuge for us, a strong fortress to save us. For you are our rock and our fortress. And for your name's sake, you lead us and guide us. You take us out of the net they have hidden for us. For you are our refuge. Into your hand we commit ourselves. You have redeemed us, O Lord, faithful God. We will rejoice and be glad in your steadfast love, because you have seen our afflictions. You have known the distresses of us. Be gracious to us, O Lord, for when we are in distress, eyes wasted from grief, our soul and body also, although our life is spent with sorrow and years with sighing, strength fails because of iniquity and our bones waste away. But we trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. May we never lose heart, Lord. May we continue to take courage in you, for you know our pain. We surrender all the heartache, lows, and down moments from 2018 and turn to you for hope, for renewal day by day. So to face whatever happens in 2019, we trust you, God. We know we will not be overcome. And in your perfect plan, and may we constantly have spiritually defining moments that shape us. Renew us daily, Lord, through your power, which you were able to raise Christ from the dead for us. We know that, God, we too are being risen and being renewed by you, so that we can bring good news to the poor for your glory. Through your power, through your precious Son being manifested, and through your Holy Spirit being glorified and working through our decaying bodies, we give you all praise and glory. Amen. I'm going to invite you to come to a time of worship now. And if there's anything that you want prayer for, there's a few of us that are around. Just grab us. Otherwise, if you can't get out, maybe tap on your friend's shoulder next to you. And just come to God in prayer if you need it.